0.1%. That's how slow Germany's economy is growing.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, Germany is just the latest major economy to report stagnant growth. Is the global economy falling back into recession? But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are down right now. The Dow down 106 points or 0.9% at 11,375. The NASDAQ down 1.1% and same with the S&P 500. The ratings agency Fitch said just moments ago that unlike rival S&P, it is keeping the U.S. credit rating AAA and that the outlook for that rating is stable. Meanwhile, Walmart said this morning that its profit jumped more than 5% last quarter thanks totally to its stores overseas. U.S. sales actually fell almost 1%. Now let's get to the global economy. Germany said this morning its economy grew just 0.1% last quarter. That was far below expectations. Our regular Tuesday guest, Julie Niemann, is at an oil and gas conference this morning. We are pleased to be joined instead by Josh Brown, who is a financial advisor at Fusion Analytics. He's with us live from New York. Good morning.
Hello, how are you?
Very good, Josh. Well, let me ask you this. 0.1% growth in Germany. We heard France is growing at 0%. Japan's shrinking. Are we headed back into a global recession?
You know, the odds continue to tick higher with every one of these major reports, both in the U.S. and obviously globally. And you also have the specter of rates being raised in some of the strongest growth economies like Brazil and China. So it's really a tough situation. This German report is the worst since 2009.
And what would that mean? If we go back into a global recession, what does that mean for ordinary people here in this country?
I think it means a few things, but most importantly, people need to, number one, adjust their expectations as it pertains to investments. They need to adjust what they're expecting, both from the equity markets. Obviously, no one expects much from bonds. I also think that people should understand that we can have a garden variety recession. A contraction is a natural part of the cycle. Not every single one has to be like 2008.
All right, Josh, stand by for a second. I want to bring in our senior business correspondent, Bob Moon, who's got some maybe good news when it comes to the consumer. Bob, what do you have?
Hey, Jeremy. We Americans finally seem to be catching up on our late credit card payments. In fact, the credit reporting agency TransUnion figures the delinquency rate has hit a 17-year low. I've spoken to some credit experts this morning, and they say there's not just one thing that's helped accomplish this. It's a combination of factors. We've cut back on the number of cards in our wallets. We're more often paying as we go with debit cards. And, of course, the banks have tightened their credit standards. They've reined in the limits on existing cards, so it's not as easy to run up huge balances. You tend to need a very good credit score to get a new card, and they've long since written off the really delinquent accounts. Still, we do seem to be getting this house of cards in order.
Getting the house of cards in order. Josh Brown, back to you. An interesting look at the U.S. consumer there. What do you think when you hear something like that? Some hope?
You know, I wish I could concur and say I see a lot of hope. It's an interesting data point. I'm not sure we can extrapolate it into meaning anything other than the fact that people are using more debit cards than ever before. And when people use debit cards, they tend not to make superfluous purchases. You're seeing something more along the lines of not that many cards being issued by banks, and you're seeing a little bit of a preference for debit over credit with each passing month. So I think to just say that it's the lowest since 1994 in terms of delinquencies, it's a little bit one-dimensional. I wish I could be more positive on it, but you know, there are too many other things that come into play there.
All right, we'll take it. Josh Brown, financial advisor at Fusion Analytics, and our senior business correspondent, Bob Moon. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks. Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
It's been a tough year for the nation's farmers with flooding and drought, and the effect of all that is tight supply of some crops, which means higher prices for us consumers. Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports.
There are some fundamental truths of farming. Chief among them?
It's all about the weather when it comes to crops.
Joe Prusacki heads the statistics division for the USDA. He says this year's weather has been much kinder to farmers in some parts of the country than others. In states where the heat just parked and sat, forget about it.
We've had quite a bit of acreage, I would use the word abandoned, down like in Texas, up through Oklahoma.
The weather has been a mixed bag for large-scale farmer Terry Jones, who manages corn and soybean farms down in Oklahoma.
The corn crop will probably be less than a half a crop.
But he's also got acres in Iowa, and it's a whole different story there.
It's going to be one of the better years.
Prices are high because supplies are tight. Farmers with crops to sell stand to make some big bucks. Take the corn crop. I ask Iowa State University economist Chad Hart where the big winners are.
Where it looks pretty good right now is my home state of Iowa. Illinois is looking pretty good. So two of our biggest producing corn states.
The losers include farmers whose crops have been hurt by the weather, livestock farmers who need corn to feed their animals, and, well, pretty much the rest of us.
Since most of us in the economy are corn users as opposed to corn producers, that means higher cost to us as we go forward.
Hart says the shaky global economy could slow down demand for corn, but he says so far, supply is falling faster. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
And finally to Stoughton, Massachusetts, which is apparently home to pizza so good it's worth a 1,400-mile drive. A Mississippi man who grew up in Stoughton and really missed the pizza decided last weekend to drive from Mississippi to Massachusetts to buy 150 pies for $1,200. It was a 24-hour drive, but at least he didn't have to stop for food on the way back. Our coverage called Break Down Our Economy One Step at a Time continues later today on Marketplace with Kai Rizdahl and online at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
9% unemployment, symptom of a diseased but treatable economy or the new thing?
I teach in a fairly affluent community, but there are still a lot of people who have lost work and are looking for work and have relocated for that, and often unsuccessfully.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Is 9% forever? The story next time on Marketplace from APM American Public Media.